plain with her gaze. The only white was snow. There was no sign of the sisters in their robes, familiar from many codex illustrations. "They'll stay inside the citadel," Jay said. "They have to protect what's inside it, the arsenal. Presumably that's what Sebastian's here for, the weapons. The sisters will have surrounded the interior armory with their bodies. If he manages to get through the gates, or his Indarkan do, the sisters will destroy the citadel before they let him have it." His voice was grim.
"But if Sebastian knows that, if he knows what the sisters will do," Clary began.
A scream cut the night like a knife. Jace started forward before realizing the scream was coming from behind them. Jace whirled to see a man in worn gear go down with the blade of a dark shadow hunter in his chest. It was the man who had called out to Clary and Alicante before they had reached the guard. The dark shadow hunter whirled, grinning. There was a cry from the Nephilim, and the blonde woman Clary had heard speaking excitedly at the guard stepped forward.
"Jason!"
she cried, and Clary realized she was speaking to the Indarkened warrior, a thick-set man with the same blonde hair she had.
"Jason, please!"
Her voice trembled as she moved forward, stretching out her hand to the Indarkened, who drew another blade from his belt, looking at her expectantly.
"Please, no," Clary said. Don't go near him."
But the blonde woman was only a step away from the dark shadow hunter.
"Jason," she whispered, "you're my brother. You're one of us, a Nephilim. You don't have to do this. Sebastian can't force you. Please."
She looked around, desperate.
"Come with us. They're working on a cure. We'll fix you."
Jason laughed. His blade flashed out, a sideways slash. The blonde shadow hunter's head fell. Blood fanned out, black against the white snow, as her body slumped to the ground. Someone was screaming over and over hysterically, and then someone else cried out and gestured wildly behind them. Jace looked up and saw a line of Indarkened advancing from behind, from the direction of the closed portal. Their blades flashed out in the moonlight. The Nephilim began to stumble down the ridge, but it was no longer an orderly progression. There was panic among them. Jace could feel it, like the taste of blood on the wind.
"Hammer and anvil," he shouted, hoping they would understand. He seized Clary with his free hand and yanked her back away from the headless body on the ground.
"It's a trap," he shouted at her over the noise of the fighting. "Get to a wall, somewhere you can make a portal. Get us out of here." Her green eyes widened. He wanted to grab her, kiss her, cling onto her, protect her, but the fighter in him knew he had brought her into this life. Encouraged her. Trained her. When he saw the understanding in her eyes, he nodded and let her go. Clary pulled away from his grip, sliding past an Indarkened warrior who was facing off against a staff-wielding silent brother in bloody parchment robes. Her boots skidded on the snow as she darted towards the citadel. The crowd swallowed her up just as an Indarkened warrior drew his weapon free and lunged for Jace. Like all Indarkened shadow hunters, his motions were blindingly swift, almost feral. As he rose up with his blade, he seemed to blot out the moon. And Jace's blood rose up too, shooting like fire through his veins as his awareness narrowed. There was nothing else in this world, only this moment, only the weapon in his hand. He leaped towards the dark shadow hunter, his sword outstretched. Clary bent to retrieve Hyrsphorus from where it had fallen in the snow. The blade was smeared with blood, the blood of a dark shadow hunter who was even now darting away from her, flinging himself back into the battle churning on the plain. It had happened now a half dozen times. Clary would attack, attempt to engage one of the Indarkened in the fight, and they would drop their weapons, back away, turn from her as if she were a ghost, and hurry away. The first time or two she had wondered if they were afraid of Hyrsphorus, confused by a blade that looked so much like Sebastian's. She suspected something else now. Sebastian had probably told them not to touch her or hurt her, and they were obeying. It made her want to scream. She knew she could fling herself after them when they ran, end them with a blade to the back or slice to the throat, but she couldn't bring herself to do it. They still looked like Nephilim, human enough. Their blood ran red onto the snow. It still felt like cowardice to attack someone who could not attack back. Ice crunched behind her and she spun, her blade out. Everything happened in a rush. The realization that there were twice as many Indarkened as they had counted on. That they were besieged on two sides, Jace's plea to her to make a portal. She was fighting her way through a desperate crowd now. Some shadow hunters had scattered, and some had planted themselves where they were, determined to fight.
As a mass, they were being slowly pushed down the hill towards the plain where the battle was at its thickest. Bright serif blades flashing out against dark knives, a mix of black and white and red. For the first time, Clary had cause to bless her small size. She was able to dart through the crowd, her gaze catching on the desperate tableau of fighting. There, a Nephilim barely older than she was waged a desperate battle against one of the Indarkened, twice the Shadow Hunter's size, who forced her down into the blood-slipped snow. A blade swung out, and then a shriek, and a serif blade darkened forever. A dark-haired young man in black Shadow Hunter gear stood over the body of a dead warrior in red. He held a bloody sword in one hand, and tears were running down his face, unchecked. Nearby, a silent brother, a sight unexpected but welcome, in his parchment robes, crushed the skull of a dark Shadow Hunter with one blow from his wooden staff. The Undarkened crumpled in silence. A man fell to his knees, wrapping his arms around the legs of a woman in red gear. She looked at him dispassionately, then drove her sword down between his shoulder blades. None of the warriors moved to stop her. Clary burst out on the other side of the crowd and found herself beside the citadel. Its walls were shining with an intense light. Through the arch of the scissor gate, she thought she could see the glow of something red-gold like fire. She scrabbled for the steely at her belt, took hold of it, put the tip to the wall, and froze. Only feet from her, a dark Shadow Hunter had slipped away from the battle and towards the citadel gates. He carried a mace and flail under his arm. With a grinning glance back at the battle, he ducked through the citadel gate. And the scissors closed. There was no scream, but the sickening crunch of bone and gristle was audible even through the noise of battle. A gout of blood sprayed across the closed gate, and Clary realized it was not the first. There were other stains fanned across the citadel wall, darkening the ground beneath. She turned away, her stomach clenching, and pressed her steely harder against the stone. She began to force her mind to thoughts of Alicante, trying to visualize the grassy space before the guard, trying to push away the distractions all around her. "Drop the steely, Valentine's daughter," said a cold, even voice. She froze. Behind her stood Armitis, sword in hand, the sharp tip pointing directly at Clary. There was a feral grin on her face. "That's right," she said. "Drop the steely to the ground and come with me. I know someone who'll be very pleased to see you." "Move, Clarissa." Armitis jabbed Clary in the side with the tip of her sword, not hard enough to cut through her jacket, but enough to make Clary uncomfortable. Clary had dropped her steely. It lay feet away in the filthy snow, shining with a tantalizing glimmer. "Stop dawdling." "You can't hurt me," Clary said. "Sebastian's given orders." "Orders not to kill you," Armitis agreed. "He never said anything about hurting you." "I'll happily turn you over to him with all your fingers missing, girl. Don't think I won't." Clary glared before turning around and letting Armitis herd her towards the battle. Her gaze was darting among the Indarkened, looking for a familiar fair head in the sea of scarlet. She needed to know how much time she had before Armitis threw her down at Sebastian's feet and the chance to fight or run was over. Armitis had taken Hero's Forus, of course, and the Morgenstern blade now dangled at the older woman's hip, the stars along the ridge winking in the dim light. "I bet you don't even know where he is," Clary said. Armitis jabbed her again, and Clary lurched forward, almost stumbling over the dead body of a dark Shadow Hunter. The ground was a churned-up mass of snow and dirt and blood. "I am Sebastian's first lieutenant. I always know where he is. That is why I am the one he trusts to bring you to him."
"He doesn't trust you. He doesn't care about you or anything. Look."
They had reached the bump of a small ridge. Clary slowed to a stop and swept her arm out, indicating a battlefield.
"Look how many of you are falling. Sebastian just wants cannon fodder. Just wants to use you up."
"Is that what you see?"
"I see dead Nephilim."
Clary could see Armitis out the corner of her eye. Her gray-brown hair floated on the cold air, and her eyes were hard.
"You think the clave is not overmatched? Look. Look there."
She jabbed with a finger, and Clary looked, unwillingly. The two halves of Sebastian's army had closed in and were encircling the Nephilim in their midst. Many of the Nephilim were fighting with skill and viciousness. They were, in their own way, lovely to watch in battle. The light of their seraph blades traced patterns on the dark sky, not that it changed the fact that they were doomed.
They did what they always do when there's an attack outside Idris and a conclave is not near. They sent through the portal whoever arrived at the guard first. Some of these warriors have never fought in a real battle before. Some of them have fought in too many. None of them are prepared to kill an enemy that bears the faces of their sons, lovers, friends, parabatai. She spat the last word. The Clave does not understand our Sebastian or his forces, and they will be dead before they do.
Where did they come from? Clary demanded. Being darkened. The Clave said there were only 20 of them, and there was no way for Sebastian to hide their numbers. How?
Amethyst threw her head back and laughed. As if I'd tell you. Sebastian has allies in more places than you know, little one.
Amethyst. Clary tried to keep her voice steady. You're one of us. Nephilim. You're Luke's sister.
He's a downworlder and no brother of mine. He should have killed himself when Valentine told him to.
You don't mean that. You were happy to see him when we came to your house. I know you were.
This time, the jab of the blade's tip between her shoulder blades was more than uncomfortable. It hurt.
I was trapped then, Amethyst said, thinking I needed the approval of the Clave and the Council. The Nephilim took everything from me.
She turned to glare at the Citadel. The Iron Sisters took my mother. Then an Iron Sister presided over my divorce. They cut my marriage marks in two, and I cried with the pain of it. They have no hearts in them, only Adamus. And the Silent Brothers, too. You think they are kind, that the Nephilim are kind because they are good, but goodness is not kindness, and there is nothing crueler than virtue.
But we can choose, Clary said. But how could you explain to someone who didn't understand that their choices had been taken away, that there was such a thing as free will?
Oh, for hell's sake, be quiet, Amethyst broke off, stiffening.
Clary followed her gaze. For a moment, she couldn't see what the other woman was staring at. She saw the chaos of fighting, blood in the snow, the spark of starlight on blades, and the harsh glow of the Citadel. Then she realized that the battle seemed to be resolving itself into an odd sort of pattern. Something was cutting a path through the middle of the crowd, like a ship slicing through water, leaving chaos in its wake. A slender, black-clad shadow hunter with bright hair, moving so fast it was like watching fire spring from ridge to ridge in a forest, catching everything ablaze. Only in this case, the forest was Sebastian's army, and darkened, falling one by one. Falling so quickly they barely had time to reach for their weapons, much less raise them. And as they fell, others began to fall back, confused and uncertain, so that Clary could see the space that was being cleared in the middle of the battle, and who stood in the center of it. Despite everything, she smiled. Jace. Amethyst sucked in a breath of surprise. It was a moment's distraction, but it was all Clary needed to swing forward and hook her leg around Amethyst's ankles, the way Jace had taught her, and then she swept Amethyst's feet out from under her. Amethyst fell, her sword skittering out of her hand, across the frozen ground. Amethyst was bending to spring back up when Clary tackled her, not gracefully but effectively, knocking her back into the snow. Amethyst hit out at her, snapping Clary's head back, but Clary's hand was at the older woman's belt, snatching Heosphorus free, and then jamming the razor-sharp tip against Amethyst's throat. Amethyst froze.
That's right, Clary said. Don't even think about moving.
Let me go! Isabel screamed at her father. Let me go!
When the demon towers had gone red and gold with the warning to get to the guard, she and Alec had scrambled to seize their gear and their weapons and hurtle up the hill. Isabel's heart pounded, not from the exertion, but from excitement. Alec was grim and practical, as always, but Isabel's whip was singing to her. Maybe this might be it. A real battle. Maybe this might be the time they face Sebastian again on the field, and this time, she would kill him. For her brother. For Max. Alec and Isabel had been unprepared for the crush of people in the guard courtyard, or the speed with which Nephilim were being ushered through the portal. Isabel had lost her brother in the crowd, but had pushed towards the portal. She had seen Jace and Clary there, about to step through, and she'd redoubled her speed, until suddenly two hands had come out of the crowd and seized hold of her arms. Her father.
Isabel kicked against him and yelled for Alec, but Jace and Clary were already gone, into the portal whirlpool. Snarling, Isabel fought, but her father had height and build and years of training on her. He had let her go just as the portal gave one last whirl and slammed closed, disappearing into the blank wall of the armory. The remaining Nephilim in the courtyard went quiet, waiting for instructions. Gia Penhallow announced that enough of them had gone through to the Citadel, that the others should wait inside the guard in case reinforcements were needed. There was no need to stand in the courtyard and freeze. She understood how badly everyone wanted to fight, but plenty of warriors had been dispatched to the Citadel, and Alicante still required a force to guard it. "See," said Robert Lightwood, gesturing at his daughter in exasperation as she whirled to face him. She was pleased to see that there were bleeding scratches on his wrist where she'd clawed at him. "You're needed here, Isabel." "Shut up," she hissed at him through her teeth. "Shut up, you lying bastard." Astonishment wiped his expression blank. Isabel knew from Simon and Clary that a certain amount of shouting at one's parents was expected in mundane culture, but Shadowhunters believed in respect for elders and a governance of one's emotions. Only Isabel didn't feel like governing her emotions. Not right now. "Isabel." It was Alec, skidding into place beside her. The crowd around was thinning, and she was distantly aware that many of the Nephilim had already gone inside the guard. The ones who were left were looking away awkwardly. Other people's family fights were not Shadowhunter business. "Isabel, let's go back to the house." Alec reached for her hand. She jerked it out of his with an irritated movement. Isabel loved her brother, but never had she more wanted to punch him in the head. "No," she said. "Jace and Clary went through. We should get to go with them." Robert Lightwood looked weary. "They weren't meant to go," he said. "They did it against strict orders. It doesn't mean you should follow." "They knew what they were doing," Isabel snapped. "You need more Shadowhunters facing Sebastian, not less." "Isabel, I don't have time for this," said Robert, looking exasperatedly at Alec, as if he expected his son to side with him. "There are only 20 in Darkin there with Sebastian. We sent 50 warriors through." 20 of them is like 100 Shadowhunters," said Alec in his quiet voice. "Our side could be slaughtered." "If anything happens to Jason Clary, it'll be your fault," Isabel said, "just like Max." Robert Lightwood recoiled. "Isabel!" Her mother's voice cut through the sudden, terrible silence. Isabel whipped her head around and saw that Maris had come up behind them. She, like Alec, looked stunned. A small, distant part of Isabel felt guilty and sick, but the part of her that seemed to have taken the reins, that was bubbling up inside her like a volcano, felt only a bitter triumph. She was tired of pretending everything was all right. "Alec's right," Maris went on. "Let's go back to the house." "No," Isabel said. "Didn't you hear the consul? We're needed here at the guard. They might want reinforcements." "They'll want adults, not children," said Maris. "If you're not going to go back, then apologize to your father. Max is..." "What happened to Max was no one's fault but Valentine's. And maybe if you hadn't been on Valentine's side once, there wouldn't have been a mortal war," Isabel hissed at her mother. Then she rounded on her father. "I'm tired of pretending I don't know what I know. I know you cheated on Mum." Isabel couldn't stop the words now. They kept coming like a flood. She saw Maris go white. Alec open his mouth to protest. Robert looked as if she had hit him. "Before Max was born, I know. She told me. With some woman who died in the mortal war, and you were going to leave too, leave all of us, and you only stayed because Max was born. And I bet you're glad he's dead, aren't you, because now you don't have to stay." "Isabel," Alec began in horror. Robert turned to Maris. "You told her? By the angel, Maris, when?" "You mean it's true?" Alec's voice shook with revulsion. Robert turned to him. "Alexander, please." But Alec had turned his back. The courtyard was almost entirely empty of Nephilim now. Isabel could see Gia standing in the distance near the entrance to the armory, waiting for the last of them to come inside. She saw Alec go over to Gia, heard the sound of him arguing with her. Isabel's parents were both looking at her as if their worlds were toppling over. She had never thought of herself as being able to destroy her parents' world before. She had expected her father to shout at her, not to stand there in his inquisitor's grey looking wrecked. Finally, he cleared his throat. "Isabel," he said hoarsely. Whatever else you think, you must believe. You can't really think when we lost maps that I...
Don't talk to me, Isabel said, stumbling away from both of them, her heart thudding brokenly in her chest. Just don't talk to me.
She turned and fled.
Jace hurtled through the air, collided with a dark shadow hunter, and rode the Indarkened One's body down to earth, dispatching him with a vicious, scissoring blow. Somehow he had acquired a second blade, he wasn't sure where. Everything was blood and fire singing in his head. Jace had fought before, many times. He knew the chill of battle as it descended, the world around him slowing to a whisper, every movement he made precise and exact. Some part of his mind was able to push away the blood and pain and stink of it behind a wall of clear ice. But this wasn't ice. This was fire. The burn that coursed through his veins drove him on, sped his movements so that he felt as if he were flying. He kicked the headless corpse of the Dark Shadow Hunter into the path of another, a red-clad figure flying toward him. She stumbled and he sliced her neatly in half. Blood erupted across the snow. He was already soaked in it. He could feel his gear heavy and sodden against his body, and could smell the salt iron tang as if blood infused the air he was breathing. He neatly jumped the dead and darkened body and strode towards another of them, a brown-haired man with a tear in the sleeve of his red gear. Jace raised the sword in his right hand and the man flinched, surprising him. The Dark Shadow Hunters didn't seem to feel much fear, and they died without screaming. This one, though, had his face twisted with fear.
"Really, Andrew, there's no need to look like that. I'm not going to do anything to you," said a voice behind Jace, sharp and clear and familiar, and just a touch exasperated. "Unless you don't move out of the way."
The brown-haired shadow hunter darted hastily away from Jace, who turned, already knowing what he would see. Sebastian stood behind him. He had arrived seemingly out of nowhere, though that didn't surprise Jace. He knew Sebastian still possessed Valentine's ring, which allowed him to appear and disappear at will. He wore red gear, worked all through with gold runes, runes of protection and healing and good luck. Grey book runes, the kind his followers couldn't wear. The red made his pale hair look paler, his grin a white slice across his face, and his gaze scanned Jace from his head to his boots.
"My Jace," he said. "Been missing me?"
In a flash, Jace's swords were up, both tips hovering just over Sebastian's heart. He heard a murmur from the crowd around him. It seemed that both the Dark Shadow Hunters and their Nephilim counterparts had paused their fighting to watch what was going on.
"You can't actually think I missed you."
Sebastian raised his eyes slowly, his amused gaze meeting Jace's, eyes black like his father's. In their lightless depths, Jace saw himself, saw the apartment he had shared with Sebastian, the meals they had eaten together, jokes they had traded, battles they'd shared. He had subsumed himself in Sebastian, had given over his will entirely, and it had been pleasurable and easy, and down in the darkest depths of his treacherous heart, Jace knew that part of him wanted it again. It made him hate Sebastian even more.
"Well, I can't imagine why else you're here.
You know I can't be killed with a blade," Sebastian said. "The brat from the Los Angeles Institute must have told you that, at least." "I could slice you apart," Jay said. "See if you can survive in tiddlywink-sized pieces. Or cut off your head. It might not kill you, but it would be fun watching you try to find it." Sebastian was still smiling.
"I wouldn't try," he said, "if I were you."
Jace exhaled, his breath a white plume. "Don't let him stall you," his brain screamed. But the curse of it was that he knew Sebastian, knew him well enough that he couldn't trust that Sebastian was bluffing. Sebastian hated to bluff. He liked to have the advantage and know it.
"Why not?" Jace growled through clenched teeth. "My sister," said Sebastian. "You sent Clary off to make a portal? Not very clever separating yourselves. She's being held some distance from here by one of my lieutenants. Harm me, and her throat will be cut."
There was a murmuring from the Nephilim behind him, but Jace couldn't listen. Clary's name pounded in the blood in his veins, and the place where Lilith's rune had once connected him to Sebastian burned.
They said it was better to know your enemy, but how did it help to know that your enemy's one weakness was your weakness too? The murmuring of the crowd rose to a roar as Jace began to lower his blades. Sebastian moved so quickly that Jace saw only a blur as the other boy whipped around and kicked out at Jace's wrist. The sword fell from his right hand's numb grasp, and he threw himself backward. But Sebastian was faster, drawing the Morgenstern blade and slashing out at Jace with a blow that Jace managed to evade only by twisting his body to the side. The tip of the sword sliced a shallow gash across his ribs. Now some of the blood on his gear was his own. He ducked as Sebastian slashed out at him again, and the sword whistled past his head. He heard Sebastian curse and came up with his own blade swinging. The two clashed together with the sound of ringing metal, and Sebastian grinned. "You can't win," he said. "I'm better than you, always have been. I might be the best." "Modest too," Jay said, and their sword slid apart with a grinding noise. He moved back, just enough to get range. "And you can't hurt me, not really, because of Clary," Sebastian went on, relentless. "Just like she couldn't hurt me because of you. Always the same dance, neither of you willing to make the sacrifice." He came at Jace with a side swing. Jace parried, though the force of Sebastian's blow sent a shock up his arm. "You'd think, with all your obsession with goodness, that one of you would be willing to give up the other for a greater cause. But, no, love is essentially selfish, and so are both of you." "You don't know either of us," Jace gasped. He was breathing hard now, and knew he was fighting defensively, fending off Sebastian rather than attacking. The strength rune on his arm was burning, flaring up the last of its power. That was bad. "I know my sister," said Sebastian, "and not now, but soon enough, I'll know her every way you can know someone." He grinned again, feral. It was the same look he'd worn so long ago on a summer night outside the guard when he'd said, "Or maybe you're just angry because I kissed your sister, because she wanted me." Nausea rose up in Jace, nausea and rage, and he flung himself at Sebastian, forgetting for a moment the rules of swordplay, forgetting to keep the weight of his grip evenly distributed, forgetting balance and precision and everything but hate. And Sebastian's grin widened as he stepped out of the way of the attack and neatly kicked Jace's leg out from under him. He went down hard, his back colliding with the icy ground, knocking the breath out of him. He heard the whistle of the sword before he saw it, and rolled to the side as the Morgenstern blade slashed into the ground where he'd been the second before. The stars swung crazily overhead, black and silver, and then Sebastian was standing over him, more black and silver. And the sword came down again, and he rolled to the side, but he wasn't fast enough this time, and he felt it drive down into him. The agony was instant, clear, and clean as the blade slammed into his shoulder. It was like being electrified. Jace felt the pain through his entire body, his muscles contracting, his back arcing off the ground. Heat seared through him, as if his bones were being fused to charcoal. Flame gathered and coursed through his veins, up his spine. He saw Sebastian's eyes widen, and in their darkness he saw himself reflected, sprawled on the red-black ground, and his shoulder was burning. Flames licked up from the wound like blood. They sparked upward, and a single spark ran up along the Morgenstern blade, blazing into the hilt. Sebastian swore and jerked his hand back as if he had been stabbed. The sword clanged to the ground. He lifted his hand and stared at it. And even through his days of pain, Jace could see that there was a black mark, a burn across the palm of Sebastian's hand, in the shape of the grip of a sword. Jace began to struggle up onto his elbows, though the movement sent a wave of pain through his shoulder, so severe he thought he might pass out. His vision darkened. When it came back again, Sebastian was standing over him with a snarl, twisting his features, the Morgenstern sword back in his hand, and the two of them were surrounded by a ring of figures. Women gowned in white like Greek oracles, their eyes leaping orange flames. Their faces were tattooed with masks as delicate and winding as vines. They were beautiful and terrible. They were Iron Sisters. Each of them held a sword of Adamus, point down. They were silent, their mouths set in grim lines. Between two of them stood the silent brother whom Jace had seen earlier, fighting on the plain, his wooden staff in hand. "In 600 years we have not abandoned our citadel,"
said one of the sisters, a tall woman whose hair fell in black ropes to her waist. Her eyes blazed, twin furnaces in the darkness.